Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. Rorate Caeli. That is, we are praying that the heavens would drop down, that God would dwell with us. We ask that God would rain down his righteousness upon us. Today is also a day that we remember very special people throughout the church year. Today, a specifically Lutheran holiday, is the day that the Lutheran Church remembers one Catherine von Bora Luther, Mrs. Luther. They say behind every good man is a good woman. She was no exception to that general rule. She had a very hard life growing up. In fact, at the age of 5, she was placed into a nunnery for school. That is where she would live until she was liberated from monasticism, that is, from the life of a nun. In 1523, she conspired with other nuns. Can you imagine what that might look like? I assume they broke out into song, right? How do you solve a problem like Katharina? They wrote begging his assistance to obtain their release. They had to find a way to escape. Something was so good they could never leave. Well, Luther hired a fish merchant and he took them out in barrels to escape the nunnery. Luther then had the task of finding a husband for each of these former nuns. And he found a husband for all of them, except for one, Katharina von Bora. She eventually said she would marry no one but him, and so he obliged. He took her as his wife in June of 1525. He was 41, and she was 26. They would live their life together, giving glory to God and praise to him for all the wonderful grace that he had bestowed. The Lord blessed them with 6 live births, and yet they sadly lost 2 of their children, one at but 8 months old and the other at the age of 13. They also adopted 4 orphans to add to their family. Katharina died in 1552. Her final words were reportedly, "I'll stick to Christ like a burr to a cloth." We remember this woman not just because she was married to Martin Luther, but because she was a testament of the Christian faith. She was a woman who devoted her life to serving God and then her family. She reminds us much of the Virgin Mary. This text today was perfect as we reintroduced the Magnificat to our congregation after many years of not using it. The Magnificat is Mary's song. This is the song that the Holy Spirit filled her with to sing in proclamation of the great things that God would use her for. When you look at this song, you'll notice that she doesn't point to herself. She does not place herself on a pedestal as if she is above everyone else. Rather, she calls herself a lowly handmaiden of the Lord. She acknowledges that she does not deserve this great blessing, this great task. And even the very first words of her song, "My soul magnifies the Lord," immediately she points to her Lord, her God. This is one of the ancient songs that the church has used for centuries. This is a song that comes directly from the scriptures. Luke records 4 songs in the first 2 chapters of his gospel. Now, even though the text says, "And Mary said," it is important to understand how Greek works. Biblical Greek commonly uses verbs of speaking when they are presenting chanting or singing. And so there's a very good chance that Mary actually sang these words, that she was so overfilled with joy that her mouth burst open in song. As I mentioned, this is one of four songs, canticles, that Luke records. The first is by Zacharias, or Zechariah. He sings this song after the birth of his son, John. The Benedictus is used in the order of Matins, and as such is largely unfamiliar. Mary's song, the Magnificat, Latin for "it magnifies." It has been used for Vespers since the 7th century, so a long-standing tradition of using this great song. Then the angels would cry out in another song, a song that we will sing once Christmas approaches, the Gloria in Excelsis. That song is put away during Advent, but at Christmas time we sing out with the angels as they burst into song at the birth of the Savior. And then the fourth one is the Song of Simeon. This is called the Nunc Dimittis. It should be familiar to you because we sing it almost every Sunday. It is a song that was not a part of the divine service. Rather, it was a part of the last service of the day called Compline. It was a service that the Lord's people would close out their day singing on their lips. But Lutherans quickly changed it to also be included in the divine service. And there is no more fitting song that we sing after receiving the Lord's body and blood than the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. We sing this song at funerals as well, as we remember that this person has departed in the faith. A beautiful song. A song on the lips of God's children, knowing that when they leave these walls, they might depart in God's peace, either temporally or for eternity. And so we have four great songs. But today I want to focus specifically on Mary's song. I understand that it's a little tricky, especially if you've never sung it before. And the way that it's written is designed that multiple people would take part in this song. Some cases I've heard it where the pulpit side would sing the number one, and the lectern side would sing number two. Sometimes it's a soloist singing number one and the congregation singing number two, but for our purposes, we're doing the whole thing so that we all may learn it. As we brought back Vespers, it was a good time and a good chance to reintroduce this wonderful and beautiful testament. And so we remember the faith of Katharina von Bora, but we also remember the faith of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As Lutherans, sometimes I think we don't look at her the way we should. Sometimes we have this knee-jerk reaction to the abuses of the Roman Catholic Church. But the fact remains is that she was chosen by God to bear his son. She gave birth to God in the flesh. She carried him for 9 months. She nursed him. She cared for him when he fell, when he got hurt. She cared as a mother loves and cares for her children. She does not get this honor because she was sinless. She does not get this honor because she is better than anyone who's ever lived. Rather, God chose her as he chose you and as he chose me. He called you for a special purpose. He called her for a special purpose. She submitted to God's will. You have here a young virgin who had not yet known a man. And an angel comes to her and says, "You will bear the Son of God." Can you imagine what that might have been like for her? The fear and trembling. And yet the angel Gabriel tells her, "Do not be afraid. You will be blessed. This child is from God." And Mary says, "Let it be to me as you have said." She submits herself to God's word, even when it would not be easy. She is an example to us of how we are to live our lives. And then later, when she was with her cousin, she would sing the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices, not in myself, but in God my Savior." Mary knew that her baby boy would someday grow up. She knew that he would face death for the sins of the world. That's the son that she had to raise. And so we give her honor. We give her respect for this task and this task alone. For being faithful, for following God's word, for raising Jesus. She said, "For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed." And that is why we call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. That isn't because, like I said, she's not sinless. She is not somehow what we call the co-redemptrix. That is, she does not earn salvation for us. But she is the mother of Jesus. A high honor. A weighty honor. Think about how hard it was to raise your own children. Now think about raising the Son of God. She said, "For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name." Once again, she points to her Lord and her Savior. He has done great things to me. And if we take a step back and sing these words in our own language, with our own tongues, we can also see that the Lord has done great things to us too. The fact that we are sitting here today, the fact that we are receiving the wonderful gifts of God, a fact that we get to hear young children sing those praises in a short time, as soon as I'm done with this sermon. We give thanks to the God who saved Mary, to the God who saves us. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. We are a part of those generations. We are a part of those that he has done great things for. For the baby that she would raise, the baby that she had nursed and cared for, would grow up to die. To die to take away her sins. And she had to watch it. The excruciating pain of a mother losing her son and witnessing this terrible thing. But she also had hope, because Jesus was raised. And so if you have lost a child, or if you have lost a loved one that has died in the faith, you look forward with Mary. You look forward to their resurrection. For that day will come when all those who have died in the faith will be returned. All those who have died in the faith will sing the same praises that you will sing for eternity. He filled the hungry with good things. He has given you his word and his sacraments. That when you walk out of this church today, you will have been filled with the good things of God. Your ears will have been filled with his word. Your stomach will have been filled with the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You will walk away washed in his blood, remembering your own baptism. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. He gave a covenant to Abraham, a covenant that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And that seed continues. That seed continues in all those who have received faith. Faith not because of what you have done, but faith as a free gift of God. And so we sing out with Mary this day and moving forward, and we give glory to whom it is due. Not to this woman who submitted herself to the works of God, but to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.